Hello, and welcome to episode 17 of The Tangles, official companion podcast of BeneathTheTangles.com. This is JP, known affectionately online, or not, as Japes and Japesland. We have a bit of a treat for you this month with what we're calling our special holiday episode. Holiday because we're thinking of it as a Christmas episode, but it's actually going up on New Year's Eve. Right now, we normally start off with our announcements section, but although we definitely have a lot to talk about in that department, from our successful WordPress migration to the many exciting plans we have in the works for the next few months, there's really one major announcement that we'd like you to hear. However, you're gonna have to wait for the end of the episode to hear it, so get ready for a good episode. Or, of course, you could just skip to the end, but where's the fun in that? Without further ado, for this month's episode, we've gotten lots of the Tangles crew involved. We asked six of our other staff members a variety of questions ranging from lighthearted favorites to deeper questions on spirituality. To start off easy, we asked, what was your favorite anime of 2015? Let's take a listen to their answers.
So, my favorite anime that ended in 2015 was Aldonia Zero. I absolutely loved the second season. I really appreciated the story and how it was basically a very serious story, but at the same time kind of a parody to normal mech series, where they kind of took it and added a real-world effect and like storytelling style instead of going for the very fantastical, by chance things work out kind of feel that a lot of shows have had, like Gundam and the shows of the similar genre.
This is a hard question to answer. I only followed a few anime per season this year, mostly low-stress comedies and, of course, sports anime. As a sports anime fan, I'll have to go with the final season of Kuroko's Basketball as my favorite. I was pretty happy with the way they wrapped it up, so I'll probably go back and rewatch it within a few months.
My favorite anime in 2015 just barely over Shirobako. And When Marnie Was There, which was released stateside in 2015, was Oregairu, or My Teen Romantic Comedy Snafu, in particular the second season. And I liked it so much because it does what I like to see in anime, which is when you take kind of that typical setting that a lot of us enjoy, the high school setting, and take likable characters and then give all that some depth. And there's a lot of depth here. There's a lot of questions that are asked. There's a lot of digging for meaning and what relationships are, what they mean, what does it mean to develop a genuine relationship. But through all this, you have really crisp writing. It's based on very good, very excellent light novels. You have a lot of great dialogue. And you have an anime that really takes the light novels and takes a lot of the strengths from them and improves upon them in that kind of visual format. So you have something that's wonderfully adapted, but also exists on its own really good, really well. And you also get a new character, a new major character that's introduced this year, which, as we know, usually takes an anime downhill. But in this case, she's an excellent character, one of my favorites in the series, and because of her we have an extension of storylines and we take the story in places it wouldn't otherwise have gone. So really excellent show. I suggest everyone goes and watches it, and definitely one of my favorites of all the series I've ever seen and my favorite from this year.
That's a hard question when everything was so bad. I don't think there was any good anime this year. I'll skip this question because everything this year was bad.
That is definitely Sound Euphonium, the one show from this year that I would give a 10 out of 10. But it's just a really great show overall. The characters are very well developed. The production values are Kyoto Animation's best. It's a great show to like, and like what it really means to be passionate about something. Definitely a show worth checking out.
In order, that was 04, Annalyn, Charles, or TWWK, Kaze, and Frank, or StarDF29. Michael, or Samanu, We'll also be answering some of our coming questions, so be listening for a voice that didn't show up in that last round of answers. Oh, and by the way, I can't take this royalty-free Christmas music anymore. Let's try something a little bit more otaku-centric. That's better. If you happen to know what any of these songs are from throughout the podcast, leave a comment on the podcast episode's page and let us know. Let's have some fun with it. Now, moving on to question two, we have another light question. What is your favorite anime to watch in the winter?
I don't really have a favorite for the season, though 2 years ago I finished watching Planet After Story while making Christmas cookies, so that's the one I associate most with winter. Otherwise, I don't have a favorite for the season. I just gravitate towards sentimental or sweet shows slightly more than usual. For example, I just rewatched a few episodes of Gokkan Alice, a cheerful, family-friendly shoujo anime. Miyazaki films like My Neighbor Totoro also rank high on the winter list.
Well, I normally don't rewatch anime except for a few shows, but since this question is about winter, I actually do tend to rewatch the EF series, EF A Tale of Memories and EF A Tale of Melodies, usually during winter. That's probably because it's set during Christmas time about. In fact, I actually wrote an article or two about this series in the past, and this series is one of my favorite series of all time. Probably have rewatched it 3 or 4 times, and in fact, probably by the time this podcast goes up, I might have started another rewatch because it's that time of year again.
To be honest, I really don't have an anime, a go-to anime, but when I think other people would agree with this, the only anime I could think of that I would want to go, I want to watch during winter season or Christmas, would be the Love Hina Christmas special, which I really enjoy even though it's really old, but it was really, really good. It was well done. I really had that Christmas spirit in it, so I really enjoyed that one.
This is, I have a clear-cut answer for this one. It is Canon, the wonderful key anime release, which takes place during the winter. It is a beautiful, beautiful series, and everything about it just screams winter. I mean, not just the setting, but the tones and colors used in the series, the music used in the series, everything about it is just wonderfully winterish. It has that kind of sadness that's associated with winter, and I think some of the joy also. It for me at least, it encourages me to eat warm food, to drink a cup of cocoa, to wrap up in a blanket, and it is just the perfect title for the winter season, and probably for me it's the only anime that evokes a season that strongly, even though lots of series, you know, evoke the tone of summer or spring or winter. But this one is winter anime.
As far as my favorite anime to watch during winter, I really don't have one. I seem to end up watching Angel Beats, but that's not necessarily because I want to. It's because I'm showing it to everybody I meet. Because it's no secret that I like Angel Beats.
Wow, we got quite an array of answers there, didn't we? If I had to pick one, though, that I'd say I most agreed with, it'd probably be Charles's answer of Canon. That show really evokes that sense of winter that he talked about. But if I had to be honest with my own habits, it would probably be Studio Ghibli films. And that's not because they evoke a sense of winter, like I just mentioned with Canon, but that's more because wintertime is when I'm more likely to be together with all of my family, and the movies that my family and I love to watch together around this time of year generally tend to be Ghibli films. They're the perfect family-friendly type of film that you can introduce to people who don't even necessarily like other kinds of anime, and they fit that Christmas season. Maybe not winter, but definitely Christmas. At this point, we're going to return to our theme of reviewing 2015, like our first question. But with this next question, we're going to take a slightly more serious spin on the matter. So, without further ado, the next question we asked our writers was, what was the most impactful scene of an anime, manga, video game, light novel, or visual novel that you consumed in 2015, and why?
I'm not sure if what comes to mind is impactful in the way that most people would think of when they hear this question. But when I watched the anime movie Anthem of the Heart, I was really surprised when they played the Christmas song, What Child Is This, during the climax of the movie. And for me it was just like, oh, they're actually using a Christmas song that's like a Christian song that's not very common, at least in Japan. It's not a common song, and it was actually featured during the climax of the movie, and they changed the lyrics because spoilers, but it was pretty neat to hear such a song in an anime movie, and in that sense I was really surprised. So that was a very impactful scene for me. Definitely made me like the movie more than I otherwise would have.
For me, one of the most impactful scenes in any media this year was definitely the end of Aldonia Zero. The second season, spoilers by the way, the second season was very good. I did not see the ending coming. In fact, the ending of the first season I didn't see coming. So the way the end of the second season kind of finished out with just what happened with the princess, what happened with the main characters, and just kind of how it all settled itself, I thought was brilliant. It definitely felt real to me. And it kind of lost a little... There are parts of the show that definitely had, like, the suspended disbelief. But there are other parts that felt, like, very tangible and real. And I felt like the characters in the show were that. And I was very glad with how it ended. In the fact that it wasn't super tragic, like it honestly should have been, if it was done any other way. But the fact that it was... There was still some hope left at the end. And that things were settled, but they weren't necessarily completely concluded.
The most impactful scene for me was not from a series or movie that came out this year, but rather from an old anime, and one that I watched for the second time this year. Grave of the Fireflies is, of course, a classic Studio Ghibli film. I watched it once when I first got into anime, but it was too painful to watch again, and yet I decided to purchase the movie and to write an article about it, and which required me to review it. And it was very difficult to watch. It remained on my mind for many days afterwards, and in particular, I guess, the scene towards the end, and I'm not giving any spoilers away because within the first few minutes of the movie, you know the conclusion of it. But a scene towards the end where the boy is cremating his sister who's passed away, and you have this juxtaposition going on where just, you know, a few hundred yards away, a wealthy family has returned to their homes after all the firebombing, and they're talking about, oh, everything is so great here, and they're playing their phonograph records. Meanwhile, these two children have suffered horrifically. And it's just a very touching, painful scene that really impacts you and just really got me to think about the pain that went on at that time, but more importantly, I guess, that's going on currently in the world right now. And hopefully it's something that's moved me to do more. And I hope it's the type of scene that if you watch it, I hope it'll move you to do something. To help people in need.
Bet you weren't expecting to hear a Grave of the Fireflies reference in a Christmas episode. Well, now that Charles has already moved us kind of that deeper, more spiritual direction, decided to ask another deep question, and that was, how have you seen God in your 2015 otaku diet?
Well, whenever I view anime, it's just become part of me now to see God in what I'm viewing, to see the story of redemption, to see the gospel message very often, and all pieces of it. So, I mean, it's just typical for me now to see God in almost everything I'm viewing. I guess most particularly this year, though, was in the second core of Your Lie in April, which, from the very first episode, which aired in 2014, spoke to me about grace and God and forgiveness and redemption, and carried it through to the very end. A powerful show, a lot of fun. A very flawed show, but one that was really an experience for me, because I was watching it with that kind of framework. And I think if you were to view it, you as the listeners were to view it in kind of the framework of what God has done for us and what sacrifice is and what redemption is, I think you would probably get a lot out of that series in particular. But a lot of other series did similar things for me this year, like the second season of Noragami, Death Parade, and a number of others, but particularly Your Lie in April.
Okay, well, being a writer now, this is my second year, I believe, writing, just in general, not for Beneath the Tangles, but as a writer myself for Geeks Under Grace and for my own blog, gamingandgod.com. The more I write, the more I see God in especially video games, since that's my focus, more than anime. The more I play games, the more I see biblical references, the more I see things that characters do in games that I would think, like as a Christian, I wouldn't make that decision. I would make this decision because I would feel the Holy Spirit wouldn't lead me to do that. And it's interesting how the more I play and the more I analyze games and see characters, how they react to situations, how the game is just played out. It's interesting how there's actually a lot of games that, you know, they do their best to make right decisions. Even you can even say maybe a Christian would make that decision. For example, like in a game like Tales of Xillia, which I played this year, and I have part two, I have to get through that one. You know, there's a lot, I don't want to spoil anything, but there's a lot of points in the game with Jude and Mila where they make they have to make tough decisions. And I think about it, I'm like, wow, I wonder, you know, what decisions would other people make if they were in their shoes? Because they get put in these situations, they seem like real life situations, things that just happen in life. And sometimes we have to make, you know, a tough decision, but we have to obey God and see what does He want us to do. So I guess I'm just seeing more and more different ways that God is speaking to me, through characters that I see in anime and video games.
If you followed the things I've written this past year, especially the past few months, you might notice that I've been writing a lot on like things lost in translation or like cultural differences. And this is because, like, as I've been studying Japanese, and the way I study Japanese is basically just consuming everything without translations lately. So all the games I play, the manga I read, a lot of it is with no translations, and I use that to study Japanese. And as I've studied Japanese this way, I really learned a lot of the differences that cultures have that you don't really realize when you just read an English translation or read subtitles when you watch an anime. And these like very pretty significant differences sometimes, not always, but it's really helped me gain an appreciation for like how to be empathetic towards different people or how to read the Bible differently, like from the perspective of who the audience was at the time, you know, like 2,000 years ago, or in the Old Testament even longer than that. And so I feel like God has really surprisingly used this as a way to like teach me how to think differently and how to, you know, have a wider appreciation of different cultures, different peoples, and just really think and realize that there is so many differences in how we talk and think that, you know, as a Christian, it's not as simple as just, well, go out and love people. It's, you really have to listen very carefully to what people are saying and what they're thinking. It's a very complicated process. And, you know, studying a different language, studying Japanese specifically, has really taught me to appreciate how different people can be. And just because they're different doesn't mean they're wrong.
As a Japanese learner myself, a bit behind Kaze, who was just speaking, I can totally understand and empathize with his idea of learning another culture through its language and applying that to something like reading the Bible or just empathizing with other people who are different from you. And it's something that I highly recommend for our readers and listeners to undergo, even if it's just a little bit. Just dive into another culture. It doesn't have to be Japanese, but obviously if you're here, it probably will be. It'll help you so much in understanding the differences between people over time and across distance. Our next question continues this trend of digging deeper. We asked our staff, what is your favorite thing about writing for Beneath the Tangles?
My favorite part of writing for Beneath the Tangles is definitely the community, both on staff and with the readers. I started writing here in February or the end of January. I think it was the end of January. But I started following the blog almost 5 years ago now. The people here, both writers and readers, have ministered to me for years through blog posts and comments. It's amazing to get to write here now and interact with the other writers behind the scenes.
My favorite part of writing for Beneath the Tangles is that I have freedom to write about pretty much whatever I want. And, you know, obviously obeying the guidelines of the site, but, you know, if I want to write about a certain anime that I watched that I just felt God spoke to me through that anime, I can write about it, you know, as long as I can ask permission and I'm able to do it. And also with my column, Gaming with God, I love that I can write about anything. I'm not restricted to certain things. I mean, I try to keep it where it's video games that are Japanese, or at least they have some kind of reference to Japan. So, you know, I try to stay away from westernized games, but I'm a big Japanese gaming fan anyway, so I love that I can just write about anything. From, it could be about a character, it could be about a game, it's the whole concept of the game, it could be the plot, it could be just one little scene, it could be maybe something like, I wrote a post once about Eastern gamers versus Western gamers, you know, so there's so many different ways I can tackle my article. So I like that because it gives me freedom and creativity.
What I really like the most, really having a chance to share about some of the shows that I love that maybe don't get talked about too much elsewhere, to expose more people to some of those shows. And that's why I've started up my new column, The Secret Stars of Anime, which is dedicated entirely to shows that are overlooked.
This is a hard question. I guess for me, it's just having a place to write. Part of it is that we're a team and we all have different writing styles, approach our writing articles differently, so there's that. But at least for me specifically, it's just like, this is the one place where, you know, the intersection of my two passions, you know, writing and Christianity and otaku media, I can actually do all the three of these things at the same time. And on a topic that's like incredibly niche, right? There's so little people out there who are interested in viewing Japanese media from a Christian's perspective. And so for me, even before I joined Beneath the Tangles, I really liked, you know, thinking like this or writing like this. So my favorite part about writing is just the writing itself, that I have a place to actually put all my thoughts down and have people who, like-minded people who are willing to read and discuss with me.
My favorite part is definitely connecting with readers. From the very beginning, you know, my goal was to not write for myself. It was not something I felt I needed to do, although it's been very beneficial for me. But the goal was to connect with people, to share something with them, to be very purposeful in my writing. And I haven't always done that. I haven't always put the focus where I wanted it to be. But when I have, I felt it to be very rewarding as people read my words, read our words, our whole teams, and have responded. And especially this year, it's been really fulfilling to see the other writers on the blog really step up and do a lot of work and get a lot of columns out and connect with a lot of readers. And that's the goal, to connect with people. So I'm glad to see that, and that's very fulfilling personally to see.
Beneath the Tangles is a very interesting blog. It's very different than any other blog I've worked with. It's really interesting writing for the community and writing for the specific audience that the blog targets, because it means that we get a lot of interaction. Now, some of the interaction is like frustration from people, but a lot of it is just genuine sincerity. And even when people are upset or they're not really sure, or even when they completely agree with you, it's really nice to have that sincerity and to hear people's honest opinions about your writing and about the things that you actually care about. I feel like our community does a very good job of trying to approach things that people love in a way that's gentle, but still gets to the point, still deals with issues, but is very open to dialogue. I feel like a lot of the community at Beneath the Tangles is geared for dialogue. We like interaction with our readers and with each other. And sometimes that's really difficult because schedules and everything, but it's cool to know that people are actually reading what we write. And it's really wonderful to see people comment and be like, yeah, I'm really interested in that show now because I read that. Or I agree with that opinion, I really like it. Or when people say, yeah, I like that, but I saw this thing. And it's really cool to kind of pull those ideas in and then get to see it from a new perspective.
I think it's easy to tell from everything you've heard so far from all of our staff members and probably your interactions with them outside of just this podcast episode, that even though Beneath the Tangles does not have any sort of literal physical location, it really is a special place. It's not quite like anything else out there. As we wrap up this year, 2015, I hope this special episode has given you a little bit of an insight into kind of what makes our writers, our staff, tick, and encourages you to want to connect with us as we want to connect with you. Beneath the Tangles is, as Charles said and everyone else implied, all about community. But before we make our special announcement and wrap up the episode and the year, I'd like to give a chance for all of our staff members to recommend a show from 2015 that maybe you haven't seen yet.
Okay, so the first one that I would like to recommend would be Wagnaria, which is, I know it's on its third season, so if you haven't seen the other two, it might be a little confusing, because it's already, you know, it's one of those animes that literally it's a sequel to part 1, 2, and 3, so it's just like all three seasons are like one really long season, unlike some other anime. So that one, but it's really funny. It's not crude or nasty, or, you know, there's nothing negative in the series, I guess you could say. So it's just a really, really nice anime to watch. I guess it's just something funny. You know, it's not the most amazing anime in the world, but it is really good. I like it. Another one could be My Love Story, which I'm on episode 8 at the moment, and I need to keep on watching it, but it's nice. It's a love story, exactly what it is. But again, it has a lot of little funny jokes. I like the character development. I like when animes only have like a few characters that they focus on, because you really can see how they grow. So I like it a lot. They're both really good animes.
I know I've definitely mentioned this before several times, possibly on podcasts. But I definitely recommend Jinketsu no Maria or Maria the Virgin Witch. It was definitely a really big surprise for me, probably the biggest surprise of anime that I saw this year, because it had a pretty fairly accurate depiction of the Catholic Church, and which also played a very large role in the plot. And I mean, there's definitely some parts where liberties were taken that are not so accurate, but as far as anime and the Catholic Church goes, historically, I'm sure many people know that it's very, very inaccurate most of the time, especially when it's a part of the plot. But Jinketsu no Maria was really did an excellent job of being pretty accurate as far as portrayal of the Catholic Church and incorporating that into its plot.
Obviously, I would recommend Sound Euphonium, my favorite show of the year. Other than that, I would also recommend The Idolmaster Cinderella Girls. I've talked about it a ton on the blog, and even then, I don't think I've covered even half of what I think the show has to offer. There's just a lot of things you can unpack from that show. I'll definitely give it a try.
I highly recommend World Trigger. It's just a well-rounded show. It's kind of more on the action side, a little bit of fantasy side, a little bit of sci-fi, but it's kind of all those things in one. And it is a bit slower because it's a kid's show, but it quickly develops and quickly grows, and it becomes just amazing. The storytelling is fantastic, and even though the art's a little bit more simple than a lot of other shows that are coming out, I feel like it definitely stands up to those. And I can honestly see the show being one that runs for a long time. So I highly recommend, if you're interested in it, start now, because this show could go for a long time, as the manga is doing really well. And it's in Jump, so it's kind of exploded. But it's a lot easier to start now than trying to catch up like 400 episodes later.
I'd recommend Ore Monogatari, otherwise known as My Love Story. A few of us here at Beneath the Tangles wrote about it as it aired over the spring and summer seasons. It was a refreshing, pleasant watch that turned several of the typical shoujo and romance tropes around into something a little more unique, and in my opinion, a lot more enjoyable. The fact that several of us here at Beneath the Tangles, who often have very different tastes, watched and enjoyed it is pretty telling. So if you somehow missed the boat the first time around, I would recommend giving it a try.
I'm going to have to second that opinion there, Annalyn. And while it is definitely not my favorite show of the year, it's quite up there. And as it was airing, I had a lot of positive things to say about it, especially if you were following my posts on the blog. However, I think I would be remiss to neglect probably one of the biggest hitters of this year's anime production, and that is, of course, One Punch Man. I'm not going to bore you with my reasoning. I'm just gonna say, try the first, maybe one or two episodes, and come report back to me. Now, before we close up shop on this month's episode of the Tangles Podcast, I want to make sure we have some time to get to that special announcement that I mentioned at the beginning of the episode. Now, we have a lot going on at the website, and you'll be seeing a lot of it in our upcoming posts here in the next few weeks and months, but the thing most relevant to our Tangles listeners is that this is, in fact, the finale episode of the Tangles podcast. That's right, this is the last episode. December 2015 marks the end of the Tangles podcast. This probably sounds like bad news at first, but it's not. And the reason why is this is not the marking of the end of any Beneath the Tangles podcast, or any sign that we're disconnecting from our readers and listeners. In fact, while we don't have many details, after we go off our short hiatus, we'll be starting up a brand new podcast, and be moving the site in many new directions that are going to be dedicated to connecting even better to our readers and expanding even further. So, you can be looking forward to a brand new podcast starting sometime in 2016. Just keep reading our blog, and we'll definitely keep you updated. So before we finally end the Tangles podcast forever, we'd all like to offer our heartfelt gratitude towards our readers and our listeners.
I want to say thank you to all the readers who read Beneath the Tangles or listen to the podcast. Honestly, what we do is for you guys. And without you, there would be no point in us doing the blog. But after all the way back from when Charles started doing the Anna Blogger testimony all the way till now, it's been really cool to see how the blog has grown. And it's like, and being a part of it and getting the opportunity to be a part of it has been a really wonderful experience. Because I've gotten to interact with the community. It's wonderful. And I really, really appreciate you guys. Thank you for making all of this possible. And for just being there over the years as we've gone and transitioned. And as we continue to transition into more and newer things.
So thank you all for all of your support. And I'm looking forward to what next year brings for Beneath the Tangles.
I wanted to thank all the readers and listeners of Beneath the Tangles for reading our articles, commenting on all the posts, and all the other support, even on the Patreon and other ways that you've supported this website. Even if you've prayed for us, we're thankful for it. I'm thankful for it. I'm thankful for all the comments that I get on my own column, Gaming with God. So again, God bless you guys. It's a pleasure to be writing and serving in this ministry. And I really do see it as a ministry, not just as something that, oh, it's going to be fun to write about. You know, I really do believe that God speaks through these articles and that we're touching lives, even people from around the world that read our stuff. So again, thank you, readers. Thank you, listeners, everybody that's been a part of this community. God bless you all, and looking forward to what God is going to do in the new year.
Thanks to everyone who listens to our podcast and reads our blog, and we hope you continue to support us next year.
Thank you all for all your support this year.
To all you listeners of the Tangles podcast, and to all the readers of Beneath the Tangles, I just thank you from the bottom of my heart for tuning in and reading and interacting with us and engaging with us. We're so thankful to you. This is a blog that centers on community and audience and participation. And without you, the blog doesn't exist. It is made for you, and it requires you. So we are so very thankful for you. I'm especially thankful for you because having started this a number of years ago, I thought that it might be gone after a few months, that my motivation to write would be gone, but it has continued for years and years now, primarily because of you all. So thank you, thank you, thank you. Have a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.